Hello, and welcome to the Lincoln Cast, Giant Bomb Community's Guild Wars 2 podcast, where we talk about the wonderful MMO Guild Wars 2. My name is Thurbleton, and this is episode 54 for the week of September the 13th, 2013. I'm joined with today by Shimboy630.
Hi, Thurb.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm doing pretty good. Recovering from a cold, but
that's good.
It's on the downhill.
Oh, that's not good.
It's passed. My head is my own again, but the nose and throat are putting up a fight. So apologies for any coughing, listeners. I will try to keep it to a minimum. Joined as well is Squiddle.
I have beer, and I am good.
All is well on this Friday the 13th.
True. Right? Oh, I forgot it was that.
Yeah. Yep. I actually plan on playing Amnesia Machine for Pigs, not even realizing that it was Friday the 13th.
So the question is, are you going to play it after this? And like... pitch black of night? Or?
I'll try to get a little bit in, try and get a little spooks.
Okay. I was reminded before, forgot earlier, by a cashier at Five Guys. I saw Sony's story before. September the 13th, 2013, and at Five Guys today, I was order number 13. Oh.
Just keep bringing on the 13 like we keep bringing on this podcast.
See, I feel 13 is a lucky number. I don't look at it as a bad number. But
the only time I was ever number 13 in any sport when I was a kid, I broke my arm that season. So
it's Friday the 13th is a historical thing that has to do with the Knights Templar. You can look into it if you want. Guild Wars 2, really good MMO by ArenaNet. I don't know. There's a lot of stuff that's happened with it. It's they're a company in Seattle that just had their year anniversary with the game Guild Wars 2.
Incorrect. They're technically in Bellevue.
A suburb of Seattle.
Anyway,
I didn't fly into freaking Bellevue. I flew into Seattle when I dropped off stuff to their office. While also attending conventions in town.
How was that trip, by the way?
Really good time. PAX is fun. People listening should go to conventions.
Okay, I have a question. Are their offices large?
No. One of the things
a good amount of people there, but not a ton.
Without going into too much with NDA, one of their constraints when it comes to doing some of the stuff that they do is like how much physical space they have. I don't know. I'd like to talk to them about that, but that's for another episode. For this episode, we got stuff like the Super Adventure Box and, you know, Ascended Weapons and stuff coming out on the horizon, like super awesome patch notes that are leaked and then revealed.
Not leaked.
Well, leaked patch notes and then ArenaNet saying, no, yo, these are the real patch notes.
Yeah, sort of. I thought that because those patch notes were iffy.
Yeah, so a little questionable stuff. Anyway, starting off, the Super Adventure Box World 2 has happened. Anybody who doesn't know, we had the privilege of interviewing Josh Foreman, the guy more or less behind it who had the idea to do it. And then got a team to help make it. World 1, World 2. World 1 was what, back in April?
It was April because it released on April 1st and everyone thought it was an April Fool's joke.
And it turned out to be a real thing.
Lasted the whole month.
Yeah. How would you describe it in a sentence or two, Shimboy?
It's imagine if an 8-bit or 16-bit old school platformer happened in Guild Wars 2 in like a 3D space instead of a 2D plane. That's basically it.
Really neon textures, like just bright colors, really happy, a lot of fun.
Chiptune music.
I hate the monkeys.
Oh man, if you hate those monkeys, just wait until you see World 2.
I would call it 2-2, just World 2, Mario, whatever. But I only did World 1 and I redid World 1 a little bit ago, just kind of like a recap. And I don't know. I'm afraid to go any further because
What's really nice, I have to say, is that they re-released World 1 as well as World 2, which was originally a shady topic of, is this going to be a thing when World 2 comes out? So if you have any friends who are new to the game or weren't around back in April, you can show them this and have a lot of a really fun time. Shimbo, I think you
I also highly recommend.
Yeah, I think you might be the only person who has done this with a group.
I have not done World 2 because I actually have not – I've been in the Super Adventure Box maybe once since this patch for reasons that we will get into later. But I've done World 1 with a group a bunch of times and all it really changes is the number of people you need at a checkpoint. That's about it.
Well, no. It's With World 1, maybe. With World 2, I believe that it definitely a lot easier with a group of people in that there's a lot more fighting intensive. At least for me, it was.
Yeah, there's like that whole, was it like the ninja training temple or whatever the hell that is?
No, just find the trash. Like a lot of times I just run past them because it was super tough. I guess as a quick note then, of the three of us, I don't think any of us has finished the Super Adventure Box World 2.
Nope.
I have not. Nope.
I never even finished one.
So one took like 2 seconds.
This will be incomplete coverage of the Super Adventure Box World 2, but
I will be living vicariously through everyone on Mumble about their Super Adventure Box experiences.
There you go.
So yeah, I guess starting off with Squiddle, what, if any, interaction have you had the chance to get into with Guild Wars 2 recently for Super Adventure Box?
It's been about probably, I would say, a good month since I've even been into Guild Wars 2.
You need to get a different job, sir.
Yeah.
I worry for you.
I know. I'm not going to get into it. Just big projects right now. But I did jump in and get back into the Super Adventure Box, and I liked what they did. The starting, I guess, what do you call it, staging area for it was made a lot bigger.
Oh, yeah. I guess we can go first. It's in Ratasum, the Assyrid city. And then from there, you go into the overworld, which is a selection of small huts for World 1, World 2, and then later World 3 and 4.
Yep.
But before, back in April, it was an instance thing, so just you and your parties. It's different now, right?
Yeah. There was multiple people. When I went in there, I was like, why are all these people in here? I wasn't used to it. I was like, okay, well, do I like automatically get joined to a group? And so I was like, all right, well, I just ran into the first hut. And I was like, okay, no, it's just this is where you can meet up with your friends. And, you know, now everyone's in here. And then you can, you know, go forth and adventure in the box.
So something else that's awesome. I'm not sure if Shimboy has seen it yet in the overworld. But there is every now and then a parade that happens in that. Yeah. Just describe it because I think it's awesome.
It's pretty much just all of the models from in there, all the character and enemy models just sort of parade around in a really weird Disney World way.
They bust a hole out of one of the walls and then come out in like a precision line and fanfare, and like music starts playing if you have it turned on.
It's basically a Disney World parade.
It's adorable. So
Banana's the best.
Yeah, Banana is the best. World 2, or I guess World 2 is separated into, I believe, three levels, just similar to how World 1 is, starting off with the River Rapids, I guess is a good way to put it. I don't know.
If you played the first world, they had like a preview of that at the end of it way back in April.
But yeah,
it's just that.
It's a lot of fun. There's definitely some very interesting stuff from a technical perspective of what's going on there. Namely, there's a whole Frogger section, which anybody who's done a lot of the platforming in the game previously, or anybody who's just done various stuff, knows that they don't have moving platforms. The one instance is like the Ara fight story mode where you're on a Zeppelin, but I have a strong suspicion that the Zeppelin is stationary and the rest of the world moves.
Yeah, so, when you're on the airships?
Yeah. This just standing on a log as it's going down a river was a big thing for me in that I've never seen the engine for Guild Wars 2 do that before. And so I was impressed. Plus, it's fun to play a little bit of Frogger back and forth.
Frogger's good.
Yeah. That by far is the funnest of the three. I haven't got a chance to see level 3 too much, but I'll get into that later. Definitely give it a shot. It's a lot of fun with friends. There's a couple fighting sequences that are tough solo, and I'll get into it with, I guess, level 2. They're called the Pain Cliffs. Shimboy, have you done any of this? Or
no. I just know – is that the one where you eventually end up at the waterfall, I want to say? Is that part 3?
That's part – well, part 1, there's a waterfall. Part
I know
two,
a lot of – people were complaining about the waterfall being broken.
No, it wasn't broken for me. You just had to time it right. Well, there's two waterfall sections. The first of which was a very easy one of just you have to jump through a waterfall, and I didn't realize that. And I
no, the image I was shown. Like I said, I haven't really done it myself.
You had to jump on some logs as they were falling down.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, I just have to time that stuff. Once I figured out the timing of it, it was very easy. I think I got hit by
it. Might have been one of the things they changed depending when you did it too.
Yeah. It's definitely something that, like, unless you are striving to get one of those, you know, 8-bit looking weapons sold in Ratassume, I'm being very casual about it. The Pain Cliffs level 2 level artistically is just a very cool. It's like a pseudo Chinese, I guess, inspired, like these tall cliffs and shrouded in fog and mist. And you're like, there's sequences where you're jumping from pillar to pillar in like a very thin, like wood, like the wood kind, like you see in a kung fu movie, but you know, expanded out into an 8-bit platforming game. But still, that's a lot of fun. And there's this little cheesy thing where you have like the fist glove thing of wisdom, which lets you push a block.
Yep, I saw that boss fight.
Yeah, it's a cool thing. The issues I have are because it's in this very like pillar to pillar jumping vista, you are surrounded by a bottomless cliff. So if you get knocked off or if you fall off or something, rather than lose a health point or something, you lose a whole life. And some people are getting worked up over that, which granted that is a little harsh, but I mean, what my bigger issue is trying to solo like the assassins who they have these leap attacks. And if you don't time it just right and wait, like you have to dodge the attacks and then return a hit. If you get hit by it, you get pushed back and knocked back and usually fall off to your death. So that can get a little aggravating. The next thing I hear people are getting,
especially since continue coins are not as easy to farm.
Yeah. They changed the way it's now a daily system instead of just farming, as much as you want to try and just limit the value of the economy. I don't know why. But yeah, the next section is there's a couple rooms with it's a puzzle game, which I'm really cool with. It's again, a lot of the things I have no problem with. I just wish they would do a little bit differently to make it, more approachable to people who may not enjoy super tough, like old school games. Cause a lot of people don't remember, but a lot of games back in the day were super hard, but
yes, they were.
Yeah. Yeah. So I can understand him doing homage to that, but there's a whole section where you have to maneuver your way around an area where there are arrow traps along pillars, like a lining along a wall vertically. And if you walk in front of it, you will instantly die.
That sounds unpleasant.
It sounds unpleasant, especially when you go into that, like walk into it multiple times because you've forgotten it's there. Because there's like 50 or so of these and you have to maneuver in the right pathway. And so if they had put like a grave marker or something there to show that, oh, you've died previously right there, watch out. That would be a really cool thing to do if they decide to do something like this in the future. But yeah, it's once you get past that, it turns, you know, nice to be nice and fun again. And then I guess summarizing to get to the third level, to which I have to say that the boss levels for 1 and 2 were a lot of fun. They took the same mechanic of the boss fighting in the World 1 levels and improved upon them, both with the types of attacks you have to deal with. Like, it's the same thing of just use your stick to hit the cage, but he attacks you in different ways and there's different telegraphs to look out for. But then the area you're fighting on is also a element of the fight, and that it's like, oh, he's doing this attack that's going to hit the entire area next to the cage, so I have to jump out of the way, but I'm next to a bottomless cliff, so I have to make sure I jump in the right area or dodge roll in the right direction. And that's just one of them. The other one, you're on this like ice hill, and so as soon as you jump off, you start sliding back and you have to just keep jump spamming to not fall to your death.
God, I was playing Super Mario World recently, and even the ice in that is not exactly the most fun.
Yeah, I really enjoy that fight because it caused tension without being any real threat. It was a very manageable threat, but it was just a very tense thing of like having to stay at, like, either you're standing on dangerous footing in that you'll fall, or dangerous footing in that you'll get shot by a laser from a giant helmet eye. So that was cool. And then I got
I really like the design, actually, yeah. The helmet eye.
It's, again, artistically really cool. There's some times where I was just taking a break and would just, like, virtually just, like, I will just slash sit and eat a snack or something while looking at this 8-bit Vista.
I say, just cut to the chase and say discover the rest of it for yourself, but there's something I want to talk about,
which is
a really weird potential reference.
I have one thing very quickly for level 3, which I have been – my progress has been impeded because I need to buy a certain item, which is a more powerful torch. The powerful torch costs 400 baubles, which is the in-game currency that's very easy to acquire. One second. Sorry, folks. The issue is, to get 400 baubles, you have to increase your max cap from 250 to 500 by buying a wallet. I don't have the wallet, and it doesn't tell me where to get it.
That's in World 1, if I recall correctly.
It's somewhere in World 1, but I just, like, if they just say you need to go back to this specific point, or alternatively, offer to sell it there. That's my one impediment that I did a little bit today, and I got to World 3, and like, I need to start looking for this now. So,
I want to say it's near the end of World 1, if memory serves. Could be wrong on that. I don't know.
All right. Well, and then, like, I guess they still have the infantile mode for a lot of people to walk around with, but then they also have tribulation mode, or what do you want to talk about, Chimbley, in regards to the Super Adventure Box?
At the end, you get to – I'm not sure if this is only a tribulation mode. Like I said, I haven't done it myself. I just sort of heard from other people. That sort of helps someone out with the part you have to do outside of the Super Adventure Box. There's a genie that you talk to. I believe it's in the World 3 preview, and – there's a character called Keto, in addition to Modo, who's running the Super Adventure Box. And he tells you to go to Keto's lab, which is in Ratasum, and punch in this code, which is the Konami code, into this little panel. And it plays this – you go into Keto's lab, and it plays this long cutscene where essentially what it boils down to is Modo got you – convinced you to sabotage Keto's experiments. So Keto – this is where it gets kind of weird and really speculative, on my part at least. Keto sounds kind of similar to Ken Kutaragi of Sony. And for those of you who don't know, back in the day, Nintendo and Sony were going to have a deal to bring a CD attachment to the Super NES. Or either that, it was a new system. I don't exactly recall. And that sort of fell through. So Sony, like, at the very last minute, Nintendo pretty much said, no, Sony, we're not going with you. We're going with – it was like Panasonic or Philips or some company instead. And the thing ended up not coming out anyway. So Sony was like, man, screw you guys, Nintendo. We're going to go make our own thing. And thus the PlayStation was born, and they have been crushing Nintendo ever since. So I asked Josh Foreman via in-game mail, hey, is this some really weird deep cut reference to the Nintendo and Sony feud of the early to mid 90s with Keto or Ken Kutaragi and Shigeru Miyamoto representing their respective companies? And I was both bummed and excited when I got a I can neither confirm nor deny response.
Yeah.
So I'm going to take that as it is.
I kind of really love the Josh Foreman responses. It's either very trolly or very insightful. I guess for reasons
or sometimes both.
Yeah, or both. Reasons we won't get into, he won't be doing as much of that in the future. Which, you know, we're bummed, but whatever. Tribulation mode, anybody who doesn't know, it's like I Want to Be the Guy or Cat Mario, which if you want to watch either of those things, I think Giant Bomb and GameSpot both have a lot of stuff on that. Tribulation mode is tough, and you will be using a lot of continue coins because you'll be dying a lot. So many continue coins that you might want to consider getting the infinite continue coin from the gem store.
This has ruffled a lot of feathers.
Yeah, it has. People feel like because the content was given that they need to do it, and because it's so hard for them to do it, they feel like it's becoming a cash grab, pay to win sort of thing, and that they're sort of forcing ArenaNet is forcing players to buy this Infinite Continue coin. Both, like, mainly with the Tribulation mode, but slightly with the difficulty of some of the parts of the normal mode.
Because World 2, some things, like, were either buggy or way too hard, so they did release a patch to either fix or make them easier, some of the parts of that, to make it more manageable, I suppose I should say.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, it's... Josh Warmer has come out and said, like, you know, it's, hey, that was the intent to do this. It just seemed like a nice, convenient thing for people who wanted to get it. I don't plan on getting it, but I don't, like, I haven't been farming this every day either to get continue coins, and I've been doing a ton of puzzles either. I've just been enjoying the content as it comes.
My question is I guess I've been away for so long. I don't know. Is the Super Adventure Box a staple? It will always be here at this point?
Yes and no. It is
so why would I buy a coin for something that may not be there?
Because it will be coming back.
That we are only on World 2 out of 4, so we will be returning with World 3 and 4. And then they've more or less teased and said that the complete Super Adventure Box will be here in either like some sort of holiday mode, either for April Fools or just sometime every year we will probably get a chance to see the Super Adventure Box in its entirety.
Okay.
And still, it's 600 gems, so it's, I want to say it's like roughly $6 U.S.
$7.50.
Okay, $7.50, or you could, I don't know what the gem conversion is right now, but you could trade money.
Real bad.
Yeah, probably bad. So, yeah, that's ruffled some feathers with the community about like teasing that out to folks. I don't know. Yeah, it is temporary content, so you don't have to do that. You could just, you know.
It's like the reason
I will say real quick.
It bothers me is because.
Go ahead, Jim Boy.
Okay.
The reason it bothers me that people are all up in arms is it's an optional mode in optional content. It's a double optional. It's optionalception, and people are getting really upset. Why?
I think it might just be like with the sense of like the 2 week outlook of just constantly doing stuff and constantly having a story beat. They feel like they need to do this or something, or this is the only thing that is entertaining them at the time. There's nothing like crazy new things in World versus World or epic boss fights that they could do right now.
So, I mean, there are.
I mean, there are.
There are things they added in this patch to make those things much more appealing, which is our next major topic.
Yeah. But they feel like they've more or less mastered the rest of the world at this time, and so all that they could work on is this. And they are getting grumpy that it's so hard.
Getting grumpy, exactly. Yeah, getting grumpy. Just not be getting grumpy.
But Squirtle, what did you want to add?
Oh, I was just I logged in to Guild Wars while we were playing this because, like I said, I have not been in a while, and I wanted to look at the Black Lion Trading Company.
So you get see what's on the fly live coverage. Yes, of Guild Wars 2,
live folks. Coverage of the gold to gem ratio.
And right now, I'm looking at just. You know,
at the time of recording,
1700 gems, which is what I have right now because I just bought pets because I'm that way. you will get 65 gold or 56 gold. Sorry.
What's the average if you were to trade
100
gems gold to gems? You can just check the average. What would that
be? Yeah, gold to gems. Average price for 100 gems is 4 gold right now. 4 gold, 61. So almost 5?
And vice versa?
And vice versa, yeah, gold to gems is 3 gold, 41 per gem.
Yeah, that's real bad. Well, if you're buying gems for gold, that's actually not bad, but
no,
the other way around.
But I'll tell you what, at about Thursday at 7 a.m., maybe more like 8 a.m., it really spiked up from what I'm looking at.
Yep, so that's probably when something went on sale or something changed.
I want to say Thursday is in yesterday?
Yes.
Okay, then I have no idea. Nope, no clue.
So that's one of those Super Adventure Box. We will try and get more information when we have a cast of hosts who have completed it.
I mean, I can just play it through before the next show. That's not a big deal because it's here till the end of the month. So
yep.
PSA, it's here until the end of September.
That is to say, you will no longer be able to do it for several months until once September is ended. So get out there and do it, folks.
Oh, that makes me feel sad because work. But yes.
Yeah.
Do it fast and hard.
And
always. That applies to everything in life.
Pretty sure Josh and his A-team are going to be doing some more story beats. He was part of the Sky Pirates. Yeah, the Aether Blades.
He did that jumping puzzle.
That whole update, he did some work in that, the jumping puzzle. And I'm sure he'll do one or two more Living Story beats and then come back to Super Adventure Box. I guess the next big topic is Ascended Weapons.
Yep.
Oh, this has been taking up my time. I'm interested.
This has been taking up my time. Basically,
so I guess you want to lead the discussion on this.
I'll lead this.
Not too knowledgeable.
They added Ascended Weapons, for those of you who don't know. It's a step above Exotic. They said initially they want Ascended gear to be a step between Exotic and Legendary, both in terms of stats and acquisition. And they hit that pretty well, because it takes a while to get one of these, but not nearly as much as a Legendary. They can be crafted via...
Shinboy. Is there an RNG to getting any of the Ascended Weapons, or is it just you just grind out the work and you can get it?
The RNG only is a bonus, if you get my point. There's no RNG if you want to craft it, but you can get them via RNG.
Like, there's no...
It's not like... There's no Gift of Fortune flowers. Equivalent.
There's no clovers. Okay.
Once you have the materials, you make it.
They can be crafted. I'm super excited.
They increased its weaponsmithing, artificing, and huntsman to 500. They can be dropped from the Fractal Daily Chest, and I'm pretty sure that they can also drop from your level up boxes in Love. Like, pretty sure, not 100%, but pretty sure. In order to get to 500, which is kind of a bitch, the Ascended materials that you need for the Ascended weapons, you can craft them once you get to 400. You don't have to buy any recipes or anything for the basic materials. They can only get you up to 475 in crafting. The rest you need to make exotics, which one is really expensive, because once everyone found out you need to make a lot of exotics, all the prices went up.
Of course.
And also, you just need to make a lot, because they're 400 level recipes. So it costs a ton of money. But to help alleviate some of this, what ArenaNet did is they reset all of your discoveries for exotic weapons. So say you had crafted yourself a greatsword previously, you no longer know that recipe. So all you have to do is just make another one to rediscover it, and you get the discovery bonus. Because for those of you who don't know, you get more crafting XP when you discover a recipe for the first time compared to just making it for a second time.
Sweet. I'm glad they did that extra step for people who are already established crafters versus new crafters.
And I'll be very surprising. I mean, I'm level 400 in Weaponsmith, and I had no idea about that. It's news to me. I didn't know you got more bonus for discovering one. That's pretty cool.
Yep. That's why if you like look at crafting guides or something, very rarely does it tell you to make two of the same weapon. It says make one like Berserker's Axe, one Carrion Axe or something.
Okay.
It's the process itself to craft them, when you first look at it, is super fucking complicated. There's a million different parts. Once you actually get into it, you can just the easiest way to do it is to go to your crafting thing. Like, I'm doing weaponsmithing because I want an axe and a greatsword and dagger and all of this. And just type in Ascended into the search box, and it'll bring up all the materials. So that way you get a good layout. It's a lot of the mid-tier, like your iron, your platinum, your like mid-level woods. All of those that there were a lot of in the market. There's a ton of supply, but not a ton of demand. Just a lot of that, and a ton of new materials which they added. There's three or four main ones. One of them you can only get from champion boxes, which were added relatively recently. One of them you can only get from dungeons, fractals, and I believe it's towers and keeps in Worldly World from those lords. And then the third one you can only get from world events. So the good thing about this is it's actually spreading people out. So people are actually doing the ore temples. People are running different dungeons because you only get the shards once per day per path. People are doing Worldly World because it's an easy way to get the materials. It's done a good job of spreading people out across the world, which is something they needed to do really badly.
Very cool. Do you think that there may be plainly some ideas? I mean, obviously this is something that they want to have like a fully functional established system for crafting, but also do you think they're playing with the ideas of how to release the legendary crafting ideas, scavenger hunt, if you will, into the community?
Maybe because this is a bit of a scavenger hunt itself in a sort of more open way. You don't need to go to specific points. You just need to go to one of many points for each thing. So sweet. Maybe, yeah.
Yeah, that sounds super exciting.
Because it's making things that were previously rewarding, but maybe not enough to justify the time more so. Because, for example, you need Dragonite ore to make Dragonite ingots, which you need, I believe it's 5 for each weapon, regardless of what weapon type it is. And the only way to get that is world events and world bosses. So you think, oh, easy, I'll just do the fire elemental or the shadow behemoth or whatever, until you realize you only get 3 or 4 from those, and you need 100 per ingot, and you get 30 from an ore temple. So it really, you know, gives the extra motivation to, you know what, I'm going to go put in the time to do Duena or the time to do Balthazar, or at least show up to help with the boss fight.
Now, what about, like, the big guys like Jormag or Tequaddle?
I believe it's based on level, if I'm not mistaken. So I think Jormag, you might get, like, 28 or 29. Tequaddle, you might get, like, 23, 24.
Okay, so that's why the ore ones are given 30, is because those are straight up 80, level 80 stuff.
They're not all level 80, because there are some in Malkor's and some in Straits of Devastation, but they pretty much, you know, put them on level footing. Like, these are our biggest big events, so we're going to give them the biggest rewards, at least in terms of this material.
Very cool.
So, yeah, I've been doing that. I'm at, like, I want to say 460 crafting. So I just have to – I have all the – I pretty much have all the materials for the weapon. I just need to get myself up to 500, which – and it's one of those things where it's a big cost up front to get yourself to 500. But once you get there and take a step back and look at everything, the weapons themselves are not overly expensive or difficult to get. It's more of a time investment than a money investment.
Now, aesthetically, how are the weapons?
I really like them. Well, some of them. The scepter's really nice. The greatsword's The shield's really nice. The thing that sort of bums me out is that each stat distribution has its own unique color scheme, and there's nothing you can do about it. So say you want a power, toughness, vitality shield. I don't remember what color that is off the top of my head. It's all on the wiki. But say you really want those stats, but you don't like the colors, there's really nothing you can do about it.
I just want to state right now, I looked on the trading company, and Soros Assassin inscription is 50 gold.
That the Ascended inscription?
Yeah, the Ascended inscription that you need to make it. Mm-hmm. 49.40 gold. Or 49.
But the thing is, you don't have to buy that. That's the point.
Well, true. But I'm shocked that, like, you know, that people would inflate the price to that point if you don't need to buy it.
The reason it's expensive? I'm not sure the parts of the inscription are. A lot of the – because like for Deldramore steel, you need a lump of mithrilium, which is a whole bunch of mithril, an ecto, and then 10 of the new reagent that you just buy from the merchant. And that and a couple of other things are time limited. You can only craft one per daily. So it's currently, you know, resets at 8 p.m. Eastern. You can only make one per day. But you can still buy the thing that you make with that. So because there are a limit on number of ones in the market, because so many people are not at 500 and all of that, you can buy that, but you still can't do anything with it unless you're level 500.
What would you say? Let's say somebody wanted to just get – they were at 400. They wanted to get to 500. What do you think – what would you say is like the – how much gold would you throw down if you just wanted to craft your way to 500 about?
It would probably be about 100 gold.
Wow.
It's expensive.
Wow.
This is, of course, assuming you have zero mats going in.
Okay. Well, based on zero mats. Okay. I can see that. So
if you have your ancient wood, if you have your orichalcum, if you have your T6 mats, it's, you know, significantly less.
Okay. That's still a lot though. I mean, I wouldn't have expected that big of a jump.
It's because you have to make a ton of exotics.
Yeah.
It's a lot of ectos. It's a lot of T6 mats. It's a lot of orichalcum. That's a lot of ancient wood.
Yeah. Okay.
Ancient wood spiked. It was like 15 silver per log at some point. It might still be. I don't know. I haven't checked because I haven't been buying it.
Yeah, I see those less often than orichalcum, I think.
There are usually the same amount per zone. I know like Frostgorge has two of each. Cursed Shore might have four of each or five of each. It's just that the reason it's more expensive is because you get three ore from a node and three logs from a node. The difference being you need two orichalcum ore to make an ingot, but you need three logs to make a plank.
Okay, yeah, I can see that. That
like
yeah.
Every so often you'll get a bonus log, but that's few and far between. Like it doesn't happen all the time. That's why, because you need more of it. You need more of the rawest material. Yeah, I've been knee deep in that. I've actually sort of enjoyed running around getting materials.
Like that's what a lot of the Scarlet like PVE Zerg zones were about, where people trying to farm up and get these materials ready, either for selling or for crafting, right?
Yeah, because I was incorrect. I thought that the champion boxes dropped before the patch would not drop the Bloodstone Dust, which is what drops out of them for the Ascended weapons. I was incorrect. They actually did. So people had a ton of them. And it's really funny because that, even after that, is the most commonly available material.
Wow. All right. Sweet.
I just want to say, like, it's been my first time back in a Guild Wars, and man, the removal of culling in Lion's Arch is absolutely horrific.
It was really freaky. It was really freaky because when they first implemented that, I went to the top of the steps by the bank in Lion's Arch and turned it completely off, like all character models on, all names on, you know, no limit, high detail. And my frame rate went down, obviously, but like just seeing everyone running around was freaking me out.
Yeah.
It's like when you're looking down like an anthill and there's just ants crawling everywhere and I was like flipping out. So yeah, wow. That's the Ascended Weapon story. And I was really down on it at first when I first started looking at it. I'm like, oh, this is way too complicated. This stuff's way too hard to get. But for the amount, for the stat difference you're getting, which is, I believe it's a 5% increase over exotic, which is not that crazy considering it's only one piece of gear or one weapon out of everything. What they're asking you to do for it is reasonable. And I'm actually really enjoying having to do world events, having to do dungeons, having to do WoW, having to, you know, go out of my way to farm iron or whatever. I'm enjoying it a lot.
But it does add, I mean, if I'm not mistaken, right, well, it allows you to add the fractals to be added to what do you call it? I can't think of the name of it.
The order of stuff you have to do.
Well, no.
You don't have to do fractals. The resistance.
I can't think of the name of it. What is it called?
Agony?
Agony. So can you add agony?
Yes,
it
does add to that because each ascended weapon does have a slot.
Okay,
that's an infusion slot.
Yeah, yes, an infusion correct. Slot. That's definitely a plus in my book. Even if you're adding 5% on top of your armor or your weapon, you can have an infusion slot. I mean, if I don't know that for me, that's definitely something I want
to
do.
I was talking to Linden Forest resident fractal expert Revan, and he said it's still not enough where you can do level 50 without dying to the Jade Maw.
Wow. And I'm assuming least, like, that he's without, maxed on everything.
The people who do like level 80 fractals, yeah. And I don't mean like your character's level 80, I mean the level of the fractal is 80, are just like I'm blown away by what, like I'm IGN blown away by the amount of work they put into fractals.
Okay, Greg Miller. Anyway.
Way, yeah.
Yep.
Gregway.
Gregwaying into the next patch?
Yeah, Gregwaying into our I love you, Greg Miller. Into our next topic, which is the next patch, which is titled Tequatl Rising. They first showed it off at their PAX Prime. I don't want to call it a panel. It was like the anniversary bash thing.
It wasn't really a panel because anybody could go and it wasn't directly affiliated with PAX.
Did you go to that there?
I did not, only because that happened on Friday, I think, or maybe Saturday, and I showed up on Sunday for the.
Okay, so you weren't in town yet.
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay, so it is called Tequatl Rising. It is releasing, I guess, depending when this goes up, it might be out now. It's called Tequatl Rising because a lot of the world bosses are getting a once over, is how I put it in these notes. Pretty much saying that they're changing them to be more rewarding, more difficult, to require more coordination. And the big one that they were showing off previously was Tequatl, who currently is just sort of get to him, attack him a few times, AFK till you win, occasionally get feared and run back to keep attacking.
There's no threat, no danger to the fight, correct?
Correct.
I mean, like with Jormag, if you stand too close, you get like the debuff on you that will eventually kill you unless you know how to, like, you know.
Yeah, walk. I mean, like there are like the big bloaters that blow up at Tequatl, but they usually die really quickly, so they don't get a chance to blow up.
Yeah, the Zerg mentality will trump the strategies for harassing groups in Tequatl.
Mm. Right. So, now. What they showed at PAX of the new Tequatl. I watched the archive of the – actually, no, I think I watched it live. I don't even remember. Is they gave him stages, and he – depending on how much health he has, is different stages. The Mega Laser that's at Tequatl now, which pretty much just stuns him for a few seconds, is now super important. He has stacks of a buff – oh, God, I'm trying to think back. He has stacks of a buff that need to be removed by the Hylek cannons around around the little arena, and if those stacks fill up, he goes invulnerable and brings up the bone walls that you need to tear down before you can attack him again. ArenaNet said that players really like jump pads, which is true. So in, I believe, I want to say it's the second phase, you are going to need to use jump pads to get around that little area to defend the defenses that they're trying to build up to attack him. In addition to all this, I don't recall them showing the last phase. I think they said they wanted to keep that sort of a secret until it went live. And with these different phases and the strict 15-minute timer they threw on him, they added different layers of rewards depending on which phase the group gets to. If you get further in the fight, you get better rewards. So it's not like now where, say, you do an event and it fails, you get nothing. If you say you only get to phase two, the rewards might not be as good, but you still get rewards.
Well, not even that. It's the events had no fail state, and they would just like when the Shatterer lands, he will stay there.
I'm talking about like other defeated events just throughout the world.
Yeah,
yeah.
But it's neat that they. I don't know if I 100% agree with them being on a timer, but I certainly didn't 100% agree with them not like just being there indefinitely. So this is a cool.
I think it's fine that they have a timer because they have different rewards. Even if the timer runs out and you fail, you still get something.
No, I am all for this.
I'm not sure if this applies to every world boss that they're changing, but they did say that he will have a chance to drop ascended weapons. He also has a chance to drop a mini of himself, that's which awesome. I've wanted from bosses since the beginning of this game.
Yeah. if only the mini versions were on scales, so like a mini Tequatl would actually be like bear size. Like
massive. Oh. Like a ranger pet size?
Yeah. That'd be cool.
That'd be pretty good. That'd be pretty good. I know they mentioned the Fire Elemental. I think it was Fire Elemental. No, it was the Golem Mark II, excuse me. And the Mega Destroyer are both getting changed. Like they showed an image of the Mega Destroyer, who's now currently just looks like a blown up destroyer model with like armor and crazy nonsense going on. So I'm looking forward to that. Hopefully he now gets a guaranteed rare because he for some reason still does not. So we'll see. I'm actually looking forward to it because now with the increased rewards from those guys, I actually like doing, you know, there was a while there where we sort of jumped around from event to event once they added the guaranteed rares on them. And then we sort of stopped. But now, like this past week, we as a guild, as the Lincoln Force, have been jumping around from world boss to world boss just to get the ascended crafting materials from them. And it's been fun.
I kind of hope that, just like, for some cheesy reason, they with this adjustment for the Golem Mark II, he drops in Titanfall style.
I hope they still have that VO, too, like the Titan Inbound VO, because that sounds really awesome.
That would be great. So I guess the one of the bigger topics for this episode, Shimbo, if you want to talk a little bit about it, they announced the Looking for Group tool during the year anniversary bash.
Fucking finally. It was actually while they were showing off or getting ready to show off to Quaddle, the dev who was, you know, running the main screen pulled up the LFG tool. And it seems like it's pretty good. I've always said that if the reason ArenaNet's been taking so long to do this is because they want to do it right and they want to add sort of their flavor to it, like they do with most of the things, like their flavor of the trading, like the auction house is the trading post. It's a bit different than a lot of games. And I figured they were taking their time to do the same with the LFG tool. And it's, seems like I was right, sort of, maybe, I hope.
Yeah, I'd say from what few screen grabs I've seen, I'd say you're right. It takes elements from the Guild Wars 2 lookingforgroup.com website, as well as a proper MMO's looking for group system of matchmaking and all that. But there's definitely, like, you can give little messages saying what you're looking for or what you're advertising for. It seems nice.
It shows all the professions that are in the party already.
It seems robust.
Would you say they took the Apple approach and did not release it until it was perfected?
I would say, much like the iPhone 5C, it is unapologetically plastic.
There you go. Beautiful. I love it.
That was a fucking dumb video.
Yeah.
But anyway, back on topic. Yeah, they showed a few screen grabs from what I saw in the very brief moment where we pulled it up. It supports merging groups. So say the three of us on this podcast want to do a dungeon, and there's two of you out there that want to do the same dungeon. You guys don't have to leave and then join individually. It will just merge our groups, which is sort of an expected but nice feature. It shows what professions are in the party already. I'm not sure if you can say if you're looking for specific professions, because I could see that going poorly.
I kind of hope they community. Don't. Yeah.
Yeah, same. Or like only allow certain professions in, because that would be even worse.
Oh, man, assassins would get like bumped to the bottom of the list on a lot of things I can think of.
I don't know. Thieves have really good DPS. Anyway,
it would be awesome topic. If they had some like hidden tracking thing of if a group of like an established group of three would get like one, like a fourth or a fifth person constantly join, like would join, and then they would immediately boot them. They would like that group of three would get pushed lower and lower into the like group priority.
I don't know how priority works, but I know, I'm pretty sure that they have it set so you can just sort of click on the side of the panel whether you want for dungeons, for WoW, for general PvE, or just all. At least if I'm remembering my little 2-second look at this thing correctly. So you don't have to wade through all of the COF groups to find your WoW group.
I just hope they find a way to make sure it can't be trolled too much. Unlike, you know, World versus World, which gets trolled all the time.
Because, like, I know GW2LFG, which is just you can do this in map chat, too, so it's not like it's that big of a difference, is I've had people just getting trolled on GW2LFG, like, you know, they would put their entrance under someone else's name, like, say, Shinboy, for example, and be like, looking for group, teaching people how to run this dungeon, PM me or self-invite. And then I would get a bunch of really annoying PMs or invites from things that I did not sign up to do.
Yeah.
Which, since you're actually going to be, you know, logged in doing this, hopefully that'll get eliminated.
Do you think there's going to be...
I've had commanders complain.
Yeah, I can imagine trolling commanders in World versus World by, like, putting their names and saying, hey, starting up a group or something.
Yep, Chris Goes Boom on the X-Men server has been the victim of that for a few weeks now, and every time I see him in there, I always ask him about it, and he's just getting worn down.
Maybe this change with the Borderlands map will revitalize him.
Oh man, Gregway.
That's what the host does, keeps the thing moving. Keeps it
Gregway
fresh.
Into the new Borderlands feature, Rolly World, the Quag Island in the middle of the lake. Fucking gone. Fucking toss it out. We don't need that.
Just
place.
Got demolished and then rising out of the water that was whatever that lake was called. There's just a bunch of ruins that you can jump around in and five control points?
Five, correct.
Yep. I know enough about this to be dangerous, but it's not grabbing me as much as it is grabbing other folks of the community who seem to really be enjoying this.
What don't you understand?
It's not that I don't understand. It's just, I mean, this doesn't seem appealing to me.
I think this seems great.
I sure will be lots of fun. It's just something I'll do a little bit of and then go back to doing other stuff. Like
I do WoW to Siege.
If I'm going to do random 5v5 fighting or something, or fighting for control points, I'll play SPVP.
Well, I mean, there is Siege is still allowed there, and there are cannons at each point that only take 10 supply to build, so one person can build them.
Mm-hmm.
So it does still encourage Siege-based gameplay. The reason I like these is because for those of you who haven't been keeping up, they're adding 5 control points similar to they're still captured the way, you know, any control point is. You need to stand in it. If there are other dudes from the other team in it, you cannot capture it, etc. But what I like is that in towers and stuff, if you have more people, you capture it quicker. And these, this is not the case. One dude will make the capture bar go up just as much as a group of 40. So it's good that small teams can just sort of go in there and take it if no one's there and not have to worry about, oh man, if we had more people, the capture process would be going a lot quicker. That is no longer the case, at least with these.
Yeah. And I don't, if I remember from the live stream they did, which I don't know if this is like they might have changed this, but I don't know if you get a reward for capping, like in the term of a self reward.
Like you don't, an event reward, you do not.
Yeah, you do not.
He explicitly said you do not.
Because that could be gamified really easily by two friends on different servers, just, you know, standing back and forth.
Yeah, because these also, if you have no one in them, they decay.
Yeah, so they revert to neutral. So you all, if you want to get advantage of these buffs, you always have to have people actively there defending it.
Which is sort of, again, encourages spreading out a bit.
Yeah. Or at least having scouts hold positions. Mm-hmm. But Shimboy, what mm-hmm. is the reward that you get from these?
The reward that you get from these, if those of you remember back in the early days with the World to World orbs before the internet said, this is why you can't have nice things.
dang, hackers always flying into our keep stealing stuff.
You get that buff, plus I want to say you also get the buff to condition damage and healing power. Yeah, so it's like, what, 150 to each stat?
It's either 50 or 150, but it's a very large, very appreciative point boost to all of your stats, as well as... Something to
as
do
well
with
as,
finishing?
As when someone is down, you can stomp them or you can just sort of attack them till their life is gone. This adds one bonus point for your world every time you stomp someone, because sort of now if you roll up on a bunch of dudes in Rolly World and you have more dudes and you kill their smaller group of dudes, everyone just sort of AoEs until everyone's dead, then you move on. This, if you have this buff, it's actually worth it to stop AoEing once they're down, or try and isolate people who are down quickly and stomp them, so you get a bonus point for your world score. And this works across all maps. So say Red has this buff, which you get by capturing 3 of the 5 points and holding 3 of the 5 points in that particular Borderlands. Say they have it in their own home Borderlands. The buff goes across all 3 Borderlands and EB, and it's additive. So say we're Red Team, and we have it in Red Borderlands and Blue Borderlands. We get 2 points per stomp across every map.
And, so, and the other thing you consider is, let's say like a supply depot or something. If you control that, you will get 5 points every, I want to say, 15 minutes.
Correct. It is 15 minutes.
In the course of that time, imagine what like a team of 5 or a Zerg of 40 could get in terms of clashing with other forces and getting points and stomps. Obviously, only one person is going to get a point for stomping an enemy. At least I'm pretty sure that's how it would be.
Yeah, if multiple people stomp them, I'm like, only one triggers anyway.
Yeah, only one is the killing blow. So you'll still get like the personal rewards for doing finishing moves.
The XP and the loot and all that.
Yeah, but in terms of giving a score on the big board, only one will go for that. But still, that's definitely, I would argue, has the potential to double, or if not upwards from there, the accrual of points.
Mm-hmm. The most exciting thing of all this for me is they seem sort of still dedicated, especially with making it so more people doesn't capture it faster, and the single person supply like cannon. They seem to be sort of sticking with their philosophy of, hey, we're trying to make this easier for smaller groups. Or give them more things to do. Because not everyone feels like rolling with a Zerg of 40 all the time.
Yeah, and like if this is a sign of things to come that like they're adding stuff for small groups to do, I am all for that. But yeah, I mean, like this is really cool. I think it's a neat thing. I'm happy they're making changes to War vs. World. It's just not what's grabbing me right now.
I mean, we'll have to see once it gets in. It could be super fun. We don't know. We don't know how the community at large is going to adopt them.
It is probably going to be super fun, but I wouldn't be shocked if people still just AoE'd stuff down, because that's probably the safer, quicker way to do stuff than stop trying to kill the active enemy that's trying to like running around to do a finish move. I'd like to see more interesting stuff done with supply and
like now DRX. it gives more of you can now have, I guess, sort of raiding parties where you can have a group of maybe three or four people sort of seeing the big enemy Zerg and sort of hiding, waiting for that one person who is sort of, you know, one or two people who are sort of trailing behind, finish them off, stomp them. And guess what? You're also helping your world by doing that instead of just sort of getting personal rewards.
That or, I mean, like we've seen them make improvements to through the world versus world XP system. You can do things like carry more supply with you or quickly deploy siege, as well as upgrades to the various siege things. So I wouldn't be surprised if like a team of 10 or something has the potential to take on a team like a Zerg of 40 by like quickly identifying where they're at, pointing out a good place to hide and place siege, quickly building up like three or four arrow carts, and then baiting those guys. That is something I would be cool and enjoy seeing a lot more, but I don't know if that will happen.
Yeah. Also, do we want to talk about the season that they're starting? Or is that for another show?
I mean, like, I think it's a neat thing, but they also are putting the season up in a world or in an age in which guilds who want to transfer to another server have to pay a large amount of money or fork over a lot of gold. Mm-hmm. So. And I wouldn't be surprised if the transfer rate for gold to gems is only going to get higher and higher.
Well, that, I mean, it'll sort of encourage people to stay on their server and help their server out instead of just sort of all jumping ship to the top server.
I wouldn't be surprised if people just all jump ship to the top server.
Also, you can't. You can, but they said that as soon as the season starts, the first server you log in on, that's your server for the whole season. So you would have to transfer before the season starts. You can't just sort of wait 2 or 3 weeks, see who's on top, then jump ship.
Well, that makes sense.
Which I think is fantastic.
Yeah.
So you can sort of, you know, you can log in but not select the character and then do a server transfer. But once you log in on a character, that's your server till the end of the season.
And how long is the season supposed to last?
I want to say 7 weeks. Yeah, 7 weeks. Because there's two leagues of 12 servers each, and you play every server in your league at least once. So, X-Bend, I hope they don't do it by top 12, bottom 12, because we're like hovering around number 12, which means we'll be bottom in the top league, which would kind of suck.
Yes, it would. I don't know.
So
I'm excited for the idea of this, but I can understand why they're limiting it so you can't transfer servers during this time. But
no, you can transfer servers. You just don't get the server rewards for transferring to that server.
Oh, okay, that's no problem, man. Sweet.
You can still transfer servers. Just say you log in on the server that's last, that ends up finishing last in your league. Even if you transfer to the top server, you get those last place rewards.
Sweet. I am A-okay with that then. I was worried
They're not locking down server transfers. Because there are reasons to transfer servers other than World v. World.
Yeah. Or yeah, reasons to transfer world. Like maybe World v. World is just something you do for fun and not for the point accrual or the funness and the enjoyment of it is the reward. And so if you move to a more active server or something, people will still enjoy that.
The thing I like about this is that for people that are not super into World v. World and sort of do it casually and don't really care how good their server is doing on the grand scale, as far as I can tell, nothing will really change for them except they'll be getting more for it, which is never a bad thing.
Sweet. Yeah. I mean, like it's, I like adding stuff on top of what, like giving incentives and enjoyment for stuff that we already do. Yeah. It seems like they're making every effort they can to not change the two things I am bummed about with World versus World.
Which is what?
The way supply works and the lack of stuff you can do actually in the game. Like the lack of events and things for small teams, which, yes, this current thing with the Borderlands is an addition to that, but...
What do you mean the way supply works?
There's two states I see with, fighting in World versus World. There's active combat back and forth, that is to say, a tower isn't fully supplied or fully upgraded, and so there is people there hopefully actively defending it because they're trying to get everything upgraded, and it's still susceptible to be attacked, in that if you have two towers, the one that is fully upgraded is probably the one that will not be attacked right away, if ever. Whereas the second state is when a server's had all night with no attacks to get everything fully upgraded and defended, that's really a bummer to try and be the attacking force. You need like a huge Zerg to break that. Small groups really can't do much. If they changed the way supply worked in that it decayed, and so when a small group of five took down the three or four Dolyaks in a row, that actually had an effect on that tower supply value, that would be a cool thing. I mean, I can understand people being pissed about that as well, but
I don't know, because I feel like if you make it so small groups can do everything, it sort of loses the large scale appeal of things. I like that there are some things, like if you're going to take down this fortified keep, you're going to need a ton of people. I think that's neat.
I'm all for that, but if they can do that in a way where it's not just Zerg the door when no one's watching, because that I want a Helm's Deep like siege, which people don't do because it's not rewarding versus the time put in, instead of just doing a quick Zerg quickly on a door. That was just one example. Another example was a little event like when escorting a Dolyak. Once you kill it, that's its end state. It's defeated, and 2 minutes later, a new one will spawn from the depot and head out again. If they had it so that it took roughly 4 minutes for the Dolyak to get from point A to point B, you have to escort it within 6 minutes. If it is killed, you can revive it, but obviously that's taking more time, and you have to guard it and escort it. There is a back and forth state. So when the thief comes in and one-shots the Dolyak, if you can keep reviving it quickly enough and ward off the thief long enough, you might still get credit. And the thief would also get credit for trying to kill it or something. But if the thief is...
That's a lot of systems.
It's just two-timer. I don't know. It's a very in-depth thing, but it's...
It's a lot of systems that honestly don't change that much.
Yeah. I don't know. It's... Stuff like that I would like to see more of, but I can understand why they aren't doing it, because it is a lot of systems.
I think it's neat that they actually are still trying to expand upon and improve, what you can do in WoW.
Yeah, and some of the stuff I've seen from the World versus World experience point system for upgrading siege abilities has made slight nuances to the meta that I think are neat, like the fact that catapults have an option to block all incoming siege for a few seconds.
Also, it sort of encourages, there we go, couldn't think of the word, making sure you have all your bases covered in a group. Like, okay, this guy is our Arakard specialist. This guy is really good with spending supply really quickly. This guy is really good on trebuchets, etc.
If there was some way to visualize that,
Great.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Having a person hey, I'm a catapult specialist. Maybe he just wants to be on the catapult. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I've been thinking that too, because if I'm on an arrow cart, or if I see someone on an arrow cart, because I usually get at least one or two ticks in the arrow cart specialty for the increased range and then the increased damage, I want to be like, hey man, there's odds I'm more effective than you on that arrow cart. Maybe I should get on there. But I don't feel like being a dick and kicking a guy off an arrow cart.
Yeah. It's if this wasn't an MMO, it could be more fun. In that, like a game, if a game like Battlefield, if a game like Battlefield did this sort of like
clearly a medic
thing, they wouldn't have a Call of Duty like you do more, like you play the game more, you get more abilities. They would have it like a class system in that, like, oh, you're a siege specialist.
Well, I mean, okay, so that goes back to the idea of engineers being more towards siege specialists, which I originally talked about would be great if they had more of a buff towards doing sieges in WoW.
No way. They're
engineers. They could build
messes with all kinds of balance. Yep.
Sure, but the idea is they're an engineer. They can build trebuchets. They should have a bonus towards
never sacrifice them. Balance for immersion. Never, ever.
Okay, well... I'm just saying that would be
when you do that, your game design starts going downhill real quick,
and then you get Final Fantasy. Oh, did I? I'm sorry. Did that?
Durin like shivered somewhere. I don't know. But yeah, like it's I'm in no way. I basically stopped getting boned about World versus World when I came to the realization, like, you know what, I should just make my own game instead.
Yep, there you go.
So announcing today.
I think World of Worlds is really fun, and you're just really bitter.
Oh,
I'm not bitter. I'm just bored.
I've been having a ton of fun in WoW.
I had a ton of fun when I did it as a commander for almost a year. The crew I would run around with, I no longer run around with. They've either jumped to other servers, or I'm just not actively talking with them and whatnot. So, yeah, I just don't do it as much now.
Come join glorious Commander Shinboy on the battlefield. I actually usually play my Mesmer, who's not a commander, so that wouldn't work.
Yeah, also the fact that the commander icon is stuck on a character and not on account really bums me out, because I'd rather play on my warrior than my Mesmer.
Mesmer's better at WoW, for the record.
I just found Revan, and he's staring at me playing my boombox in Lion's Arch. I don't know if I should be worried.
Okay, so that pretty much covers all of our major topics. Yeah. We went over the Super Adventure Box, the Ascended Weapons, the new patch stuff. They did there were some sort of leaked balance notes. And then earlier today, the 13th, well, I guess now it's the 14th on the East Coast because we're recording this way too late. Jonathan Sharp, who's like one of the main game designers, did confirm or debunk some of the things. And these are coming in the October 15th patch. So you can go on the forums and read them. It's a big big thread on the main Guild Wars 2 discussion forum. The main thing that stuck out to me, aside from him giving a general high-level overview of what they want each profession to be with this patch, like they're going to change Venom sharing on Thief to make it easier. It's kind of a bit of a bigger range, et cetera, et cetera. Make shouts more effective for warrior, go up, so on and so forth, is they're splitting the HP between and summons between PvE and PvP, giving them more health in PvE. So your summon thieves, your summon elemental on an Ellie, I don't know if it applies to ranger pets and necrominions, I would assume it does, will have more HP in PvE, thus making them more viable, which sounds really exciting to me.
Nice.
So, you know, your minion master necros, your sort of summoner class Ellies, where you can go with like a summoned weapon and then a few summoned elementals, depending on how they change it, might become viable builds, which is more viable builds is always good.
Your King of the Hill engineers.
Yes. Because I believe they want to make it. I think Jonathan Sharp also said that engineer turrets will now also target, you know, the engineer's target. So they will attack the right targets and have more health. So that might become viable as well.
Oh, I could level my NG up. I'd be excited about that.
Yeah. It's like I said, more viable builds for more classes is always a good thing.
Yeah.
So yeah. Balance changes, yo. Those are a ways off. That's like a month away. So we don't have to worry about that for a while.
I guess we'll end the show with a little bit of plugs back and forth. Maybe some projects we're working on. Squiddle, anything on the horizon for you?
Projects.
There's projects you're working on, just not related to this game.
God, don't.
Or other things, like, you know, it's anything new with consoles or whatnot for you?
Well, yeah, so... It brought up a good point. So I'm in November some time frame. No, I'm sorry. October 19th, I'm going to be going up to Seattle to see my aunt. And it doesn't sound like a big deal to many people probably listening here, but she does work for Nintendo. And
oh, Nintendo of America.
Nintendo of America in Seattle, or Redmond, Washington.
Home,
yes.
Home of Reggie.
That's right. And there is maybe.
Does she play the game? Is.
Which one? Which game?
Play the game.
Does she play the game? Does Reggie make her play the game?
She whatever Reggie tells her, she plays it. No. Okay. Off topic. Anyway. Oh. So, anyway, there is a position open. There's two positions open at Nintendo, and I may or may not try to get my way in there and get an interview in while
I'm
here.
Do you have privilege to tell us what these positions are?
Well, they're on their site. I mean, you can look at it. It's,
okay.
It's system administration.
Not, it's not. Okay,
no,
so it's not like it's custom crazy.
No, it's not like I'm going to be the hardcore game designer and game player.
Not,
and,
it's also not like you're going to be testing unreleased software or hardware.
No.
Which is what I was curious about.
Yeah, no, definitely not. But
looking
for a
handler for Shiro Miyamoto.
Yep, there you go.
That sounds pretty cool.
But I may or may not, you know, just to see what happens. I haven't interviewed in like 7+ years, so.
You must bring your own fanny pack. What?
What? Huh?
I don't know.
Okay. Keep going. But, you know, that, for me, that's probably the only big gaming, quote unquote, news that may happen. So that's what I'll leave off with.
If that doesn't work out, the Great Garden State will always be a welcome home.
Hey, okay, I'll talk about it afterwards, but never mind. Yeah.
and if Nintendo turns it down, Microsoft's right across the street.
Exactly. Actually, Microsoft's in my backyard, to be honest. They're opening up a new data center for a lot of their hosting stuff here.
The infinite power of cloud.
I'm not being facetious in saying that Microsoft is right across the street from Nintendo of America.
Oh, no. I know. I've been there. I was there before the Xbox was actually announced, or when it was just announced. And I saw the giant, Master Chief statue that was in their cafeteria area, and that was way back in the day.
Was DigiPen a thing next to Nintendo of America?
DigiPen?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, fair enough. I know that like at least a couple years ago when I toured their campus in quotes, that it was like the building was DigiPen, the next building over was Nintendo of America, and then the next like. Two blocks of buildings was Microsoft.
Yeah, no, this was like in 2001, maybe 2002.
Cool.
When I was last there, so I don't remember any of that.
That's weird. That's roughly when I was there too.
I remember going to Nintendo, and I remember she had a friend that worked at Microsoft and got me in and got me all like I saw literally a crate full of. Xbox One or the original Xbox.
Oh God, not Xbox.
Yeah, the original Xbox shells that were basically going to be thrown out.
Did you get to hold the Duke?
No. Well,
the
I
Duke
had a Duke.
Is the best.
I had a Duke. I had an original Xbox. It's the best controller that's ever been made, and it will never be rivaled because everyone's too much of a pussy to make a controller that's worth the man-sized hands that it should be had. So that's.
I mean, the button layout on that original Xbox controller was kind of really bad, but.
There is the power glove.
Like, why did the black and white button exist?
Wait, so if you had the Duke and the power glove, would you become Duke Nukem in real life?
No, you would just be just gaming god. You could not be stopped.
Yeah, so that's really all that I have. So I will pass the torch on to whoever's next.
Shinboy 630, what's up?
I don't know what's up. What is up? Back at school, that kind of sucks.
Oh,
and computer engineering classes out the ass. One of my professors is Australian, so that's kind of cool, I guess.
Any games for plug and play?
No, I haven't been writing, man.
Game or giant or GTA? That's the word.
What? I'm not gonna play GTA. Fuck that.
Ooh, that's curious.
It's a big I don't game like GTA out. Games. I don't like GTA games. I have been thinking about getting a site up for the Lincoln Cast. If anyone has any recommendations on someone who understands the concepts of coding but doesn't know inside and out many of the normal web code, I don't even know how to phrase it, your HTMLs and CSSs of the world. If there are any good guides on how to get started with that or how to get started with WordPress or something like that, that'd be cool. You can just send them to @thelincolncast on Twitter. Which you should all follow.
Or you can email us at thelincolncast@gmail.com.
I don't want to say may or may not know someone that could build the entire website for us.
Same here.
I kind of want to do it myself. I mean, okay, I definitely know people who could.
Fair enough.
I kind of want to at least, you know, get a crack at it myself.
Okay.
Sweet. So,
at least try. Yeah. And then the other thing.
Possibly in the future.
Yeah, possibly be months, because this would take me forever. Actually, might not. I don't know. And then the other thing is Extra Life, the 25, I suppose, this year, our gaming marathon. It's, I want to say November 2nd. It's one of the Saturdays in November. Giant Bomb has a team up. I'm sure you can just Google Giant Bomb Extra Life and you'll either get taken to the thread or to the team page. I'm probably going to sign up and do that.
I mean, what is Extra Life, first off?
It is,
for folks who don't know,
it is a 24, normally 24. This year, I think they're doing 25 hour straight gaming marathon that takes place on a day, usually in the fall. Or people sign up on the site and you can sponsor them, much like you did back in the day with, you know, your grade school fundraising.
Scholastics Book Club.
Like, hey, I run a marathon for every mile I run or something.
Yeah,
would you donate
like
to this charity?
Yeah, so I'll be like, yo, I'll stream me playing dumb video games for 24 hours straight, and you can sponsor me, and all the money goes to charity.
Now, is it like we can pick what charities you want, or are they all going to one charity?
I believe Extra Life – no, let me look it up, because I don't want to give false information with this.
Okay. While you're looking that up, I will say that something I really enjoyed was last year's Extra Life live stream. Matt Pasquale did his own thing as of playing Halo for 24 hours, I believe, as well as – Giant Bomb's own Drew Scanlon and
Alexis. Alex,
yeah, I was gonna say Alex Navarro, but I knew that was wrong. Alexis played
Alexis Navarro.
Yeah, Alexis
to
Navarro.
To me, it seems like it's the Children's Miracle Network hospitals.
Sweet. That I am all for donating to those guys. But yeah, they played Halo 1, Halo 2, and Halo 3. So I had a great time with that. And then on top of that, someone from the Lincoln Force, I'm not sure if he's an active player now. I wouldn't be surprised if he's taking a break, but he made a new character and played it, up until 24 hours. I think he got to like level 36 or something. He did a good job with it.
Cause I don't know. I'm probably going to play an assortment of games, have special guests as in people on Mumble come in and out. I've been tempted to get a capture card, some form of capture to capture console gameplay. Which once I get my PS4, it won't be a big deal. But this is before that comes out.
Yeah, so I wouldn't be surprised if you have like
kinds of games.
A roommate or a friend or something who's helping you take care of it. You could do something like where if you donate a certain amount of money, you can request one of the games that's listed in your Steam library.
I don't know if they have sort of like reward stuff. I don't believe they do. But I know the Giant Bomb community, I believe, has a goal of 30 grand total.
If you don't want to stream any games yourself, you can always choose to follow some, like, check the list out, see if there's anybody you like that is doing some neat stuff.
Even if you're not going to support, like, me personally, if you see someone, like a YouTube personality or a streaming personality that you really like and you see they're doing it, donate to them. No matter where the money comes from.
What's really fun is this time of the year is when I get to see a lot of streams for – like buy gamers for charity. There was the summer Games Done Quick for Doctors Without Borders that I enjoyed. And this is a time where we see stuff for like Child's Play and in children's hospitals.
Mm. Yeah. Cause I was tempted to do it last year. By the time I realized what day it was, that day was like 2 days away and I was like, oh God, this is not going to work. So I'm actually
some planning is required.
Yeah. So I'm probably just going to register after we finish recording this, and then Thurb, I'll give you the link to throw in the show notes, either to me or the Giant Bomb community as a whole, or just to the site. Sweet. I'm probably going to do that. I don't know what games I'm going to play, though. You know, if you have games that you want me to play, throw them at me, and I'll see if I have them.
Yeah. And then for me, I guess I'll just plug, again, at the LincolnCast on Twitter.
Follow us on Twitter.
Yeah. Seriously. We post on there
like,
every now and then.
No, like, actually, not even joking. Like, last week, we didn't really have a show, and the only way we really told people was on Twitter. So, and also, I have it set up when I first got access to the Twitter account. The very first thing I did was set it up with Twitter feed, I want to say it's called. So when a new episode is posted to the RSS, a tweet is automatically, if you will, sent out. So even if you don't follow the RSS and just sort of check every so often to see if there's a new show up, if you follow that Twitter account at the Lincoln Cast on Twitter, you'll get a tweet, you know, automatically.
As well as this week we did a doubleheader, so you'll have two different episodes, a Lincoln Cast and Scotch Cast, in your feed. And due to internet bandwidth things, I didn't live stream it. But usually I live stream the audio, and you can we might do stuff like talking with people in the chat. Right now we're not doing too much of that, but it's a cool thing. As well as various live streamings from all of us. And we will sometimes ask questions of the community, and you can respond to us. For example, this week, if you something you really like about World vs. World, or something that you wish they would change, that you can put into 180 characters?
140.
I'm gonna say you have 180 characters. You can tweet 1.5 times.
That's not how Twitter works.
Tweet 1.5 times. It's fine.
Do any of us have access to it? Go ahead.
I definitely have a personal Twitter.
Oh, I was gonna say, do we want to throw out personal Twitter?
Screw you guys.
Hey, I just, you know.
You don't want to read my tweets.
Yeah, my tweets are my own.
If you want to follow some stupid, crazy news, Mr. Squiddle on Twitter. Is it me.
Really Mr. Squiddle?
It is Mr. Squiddle, Squiddel. And tweeting a bunch of crazy stuff. So go ahead and follow me if you want. And, you know, you never know. Maybe I'll retweet something from Lincoln Cast Twitter. So
that reminds me of the pig from The Lion King. Who's Mr. Pig. I am my real name of at Conrad Kirby, Conrad Kirby, like the big adorable pink Nintendo character.
My 3DS has a Kirby hat.
No royalties for that.
So yeah, Shinboy or Matt, I'm not sure what your Twitter handle is.
Yeah, my Twitter handle is at Matt_Leslie LESLIE35. So I tweet about random nonsense. And sports occasionally, because that's a thing I enjoy.
Especially when the Bruins are playing, right? The Bruins, that's a thing.
Yeah, those that's a team.
Yep. Okay.
They play in Boston, or LA if you're into college sports.
And thank you guys for listening to this episode of the Lincoln Cast. Apologies for some of the internet connections. It's late at night, and we've had a few hiccups every now and then, but I think it's bearable. And you guys have a good day.
Take it easy.
Oh, at the Lincoln Cast on Twitter. Seriously, though, because Therb, Cynic, and I all have access, so we can answer your questions about dumb stuff. And Jean-Claude Van Damme movies.
Yeah, and between the three of us, we check it, you know, at least once a day.
Basically, what I'm saying is send us your Jean-Claude Van Damme questions.
At the Lincoln Cast on Twitter.
JVCD!
We don't know how to end these.
Wait, JCVD? JVCD. It's a good movie. Go watch it.